You, Hannah, lovely as always. Good morning, Pathways.
Good morning.
I'll add my New Year's greetings to you. So here's the thing, right? So the holidays are great. You get to see loved ones. You get to see family. And then it's wonderful. You fight a little bit. And then you say, hey, go home. Thanks. And you express love, and it's great. But then after that, there's kind of this absence, right? Like you miss your loved ones. And for me, having been in student ministry for 30 years, a lot of my former students will reach out during the holidays and say, hey, how are you doing, et cetera? This is what's going on in my life. This is what's going on with my life. And there's a part of me it's just a combination of this time of the year. It just feels a little, well, let me put it to you this way. How many of you have loved ones in your life who aren't or won't follow Jesus with you? It leaves a lot of anxiety. It leaves a lot of hurt. It's the top of my list, barring something emergency, a death, a critical illness, something. That's always the top of my list are my beloved ones who aren't or won't follow Jesus. And then I'm confronted as a pastor preaching about this. Well, Jonathan, what are you doing about it? Well, you see, God, it's not that easy because there's all these things. It's, well, yes, my son, but what are you doing? What? Jesus, maybe you didn't hear me. God. There's all these things. I've got my schedule. There's food. What are you doing about it? I grew up in the church, and every one of my youth pastors used to teach me this road. This is called the Romans Road. How many of you remember this? It's a series of verses in the book of Romans that kind of encapsulate, that kind of serve as a great basics of the gospel. And if you were able to get your friend or your loved one to a place where they wanted to hear more about God, well, then you could just run these verses and then presto, they would become a Jesus follower. It never happened for me. And I think it's because my loved ones who aren't following Jesus, they couldn't care less about the Bible. I think as soon as I bring it up, they dismiss the word. I think anything from Scripture I would say to them is just immediately irrelevant. It's an obstacle. It's a door they will not open. It's a window they will not crack. And as part of this generation, the enemy has this generation locked up with that attitude that the word of God is no longer any use to you. And yet I see my God looking at me. What are you going to do about this, Jonathan? So here's my hypothesis. If we can't prove to our loved ones that God is good and that he loves them, if we can't prove that to them through the word, well then, that leaves us. We're going to have to prove it to them through us, through our lives, through our stories. And so this is the challenge for today's age, for the Generation Z, for millennials, for everyone. This is our cultural challenge. If my life of faith in Jesus, if that looks exactly like their life without faith in Jesus, then is he actually real to me? If my former students, I'll tell you a quick story. I was working with one of these students who just came in off the street, I think because he liked the pretty girls in the youth group. And so I spent a lot of time with this kid, played ball. I don't play ball, but we spent some time trying to play ball. And he found that amusing. And so we would have these conversations. I took him out to a lot of meals, and he was this intelligent kid. And so he had no problems eventually believing that God was real. And he had no problems believing that maybe the Bible had, you know, was from God. But then he got me with his line, and he stuck at this stupid smart kid. I'm still so angry with him. He said, Jonathan, you have to prove to me every day why you follow Jesus. Because as far as I can tell, my life is fine. If you're saying your life is fine, well, what's the difference? Why do I need to follow Jesus? My life is fine. Why do you, every day, follow him? What would be missing from your life every day, Jonathan, if you didn't have this Jesus? How can you prove to me every day that there is a Jesus who is real and who loves you and wants to be with you? This kid was in my life 20-something years ago, and I'm still wrestling with that challenge. How many of you who were raised in the church had that secret question, is any of this real? Don't raise your hands. But if you are going to raise your hands, it's okay. You're in good company, because some of you today are asking that same question and wondering that same question. Is any of this real? When I pray, am I just praying to the ceiling? How can I really trust the Bible? Like, these are real questions, and they're fine, but we need to talk about them. So let's see if we can change some of that today. It is my favorite Sunday of the year. It's Ebenezer Sunday, which means it's New Year's Resolution Sunday, which means it's time to ask ourselves where we saw God moving in our lives this past year. This is why this matters. We're going to use this Sunday every year to landmark our progress and our growth. But here's why it matters. If we can prove to each other and ourselves that stuff that happened last year was just unexplainable. Things happened last year that we can't explain. There are just too many coincidences. There are just too many happenstances. There are just too many but then unbeknownst to me and coincidentally, and it just so happened. We have these little stories, these things that happened to us. If we have a bunch of these, well then isn't that proof? To us, at least. And if we put our stories together, if I'm telling my beloved student, well, listen, man, I've got a story to tell you. And, you know, this happened, and coincidentally, this happened. And there's no way, but this also happened. And then unbeknownst to me, this just happened too. Then I've got to imagine they're going to say, yeah, I guess you're right. I can't really explain that. Ooh, that's a window cracked. And then I tell them another story from my life. And then I add one of Paula's story, and one of Ed's story, and one of Ananda's story, and I say, my church has a bunch of these stories. And now they're like, okay, something weird is going on with you and your friends. But I guess I can't deny that maybe God is at least real. And maybe that's the new evangelism. Maybe that's the new apologetic. Maybe that's the new definition of how we live out our faith. Because it doesn't do me any good to tell my beloved one, you know what? My God is real, and I know that because I go to church every Sunday. That doesn't land with them. So let's help each other find these stories. Welcome to Ebenezer Sunday. Let's pray. I'm thinking of that, I don't know why, my immature brain, Father. I'm thinking of that dumb little joke about how much faith does an angel need to have. And the answer is none. The angel can see you. It is us, your children, that you ask us to have faith. And it's a trick. We don't need to have faith. Because if we look close enough, Father, I believe that we can see you. I believe that we are on an ocean, and I look behind me, and I can see the current. I can see where my vessel has been. I believe that we are on a road, and I can see where my tracks have been. I believe that I am in the sand, and I can see where my footprints have been, and I can see that I am not alone. And I can see that I am not in charge. And I can see that you have been with me in every step, that you have carefully navigated me around the hardships and the troubles, and that you have been with me in my lowest moments. Father, would you open up our eyes to see you last year? Would you bring amazing recall? Oh yeah, that did happen. Would you be gospel to us through each of us? Tell me more about that story. Maybe there's a God story in there. Father, would you reveal yourself to us in our real and daily lives? And all the people of God said, amen. We're in the YouVersion app a lot on Sundays, and there's a lot of goodies and a lot of bonuses in there and a lot of links and et cetera. Today is not so much a sermon. I'm not going to teach you about the word. We're going to do the word together. So kind of think of today as more of a workshop, and we're going to be interactive. But in order to get you there first, let me give you a little background. We're in the book of Nehemiah today, which is one of my favorite books of the Bible, because that is him and Ezra and the story in it, and so many of us love the story of Nehemiah. But for those of you who have forgotten, here it is. The people of God were in exile for a long time. They were disbanded as a nation. God allowed their enemies to take them over, and they were scattered throughout the land, which means that they lost their national identity. Which means that they lost their faith identity. Which means that they were mingling their culture, their behavior, their patterns. They were mingling their norms. They were mingling their definitions of what is right with whatever was out there. Their identity as a people of God was fading. But there was this normal guy who had a normal day job. He wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a priest, he wasn't a king, just this guy named Nehemiah, and he decided this is not okay with me, and he decided to do something about it, and it's way too long a story to tell. But this normal guy rallied the troops, brought them back together, had some battles, had a lot of conversations with a leader, with a delegator, and he re-established the city of God and called the people of God back to it. But the problem is, they've lost their way. I mean, can you hear that dinging? It's really annoying to me. Okay. Problem is, they've lost their way, and they've forgotten the scriptures because they haven't been meeting in the temple, and there's been no priest to read it to them. They haven't heard the word of God for a very long time. They've been in exile for almost 70 years or more, and they have long abandoned living by God's ways. Enter the priest Ezra in Nehemiah 8 and Nehemiah 9. Here we go. Let's read Nehemiah 9 together. The Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth because it was itchy and scratchy and it was formless and void, and that's what you wore when you wanted to be in confession. You didn't want to be comfortable. You wanted to show yourself humble, and so you wore sackcloth, stuff you put grain and rice and beans in. They were fasting and wearing sackcloth, and they were putting dust on their heads to show their humility. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. I hope you don't have lunch plans today. We're going to do this exact same thing. We're going to be here for a quarter of the day. We have sackcloth for you outside. That would have been really funny if I had like a bunch of kids in sackcloth. That would have been cool. My students. But I did say we're not going to talk about it. I'm not going to exegete the passage. Let's just do this. Okay, so first, here's how we're going to do this. As I'm going to read the confessional verses of Ezra's prayer. And I'm going to ask you to meditate on the parallels in your own life and your own choices. If you want to make notes in the YouVersion app, that's fine. Those are for you. That's private. We're going to invite you to join our digital room. We have a digital room. You can access it through that link or that QR code. Everything you write there is anonymous, but it's a communal room. And so when you post something there, perhaps it will encourage someone else. Yes, that's right, that's me too. I have something I want to confess as well. And when you see that, they're like, I resonate with that. I don't know who that is, but I'm going to pray for that person. Some of you will do this privately in your own app. Some of you will take this home and do it with your spouse, your family member, your faith mentor, your best friend. Some of you watching this video later at home will just go through this exercise yourself. But if you can, take the challenge. There is something different about confessing communally together. Here's the benefit. One, it's anonymous. Two, when you confess something out loud, when you write it down, when someone else sees it, it's real. Yes, it's real when you pray it between you and God, but now someone else knows, and now it's real, and it has form. And your confession has more reality to it. There's only one catch, is that you can't see other people's confessions until you enter one of your own. I didn't build the app, that's just the way it works, but how nice that it is. Okay, so I'm gonna read the passage. You can either engage in the digital room yourself or in the YouVersion app just for yourself. Let us hear the word of God and let us do as our faith ancestors did and let the Holy Spirit move us. If you look back on 2022 and you look back at your life, are there things there that God is poking at? Are there idols that need to be destroyed? Are there strongholds that need to be opened up? Are your hands clenched tight against an attitude, a behavior, a practice, a thought that you just need to let go of? Do you feel clean before God? This is the time to confess. Ezra's prayer begins. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Ezra rightfully begins with adoration and remembering who it is who he's talking to. He then reminds himself and his people of all of God's acts. You are the Lord God. You have kept your promise because you are righteous. You saw the suffering of our ancestors. You sent signs and wonders. You came down on Mount Sinai. You made known to them your holy Sabbath. In their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. And again, imagine the whole city standing before Ezra as he's reading. And I think he pauses and looks at his people and continues in verse 16. But they, our ancestors, they became arrogant and stiff-necked. They did not obey your commands, God. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and therefore you did not desert them even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, this is your God who brought you up out of Egypt. And they committed awful blasphemies. He continues later. Ezra's prayer in verse 26. They were disobedient and rebelled against you. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who had warned them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies. So you delivered them into the hands of their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven. And in your compassion, you delivered them time after time. You warned them in order to turn them back to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances, of which you said the person who obeys them will live by them. But stubbornly they turned their backs on you. They became stiff-necked and refused to listen. For many years you were patient with them. By your spirit you warned them through your prophets. Yet they paid no attention. So you gave them into the hands of the neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Does any of this have any reality in your life? A stiff neck, one who will not look to heaven, but one who will only look to themselves. Being rescued time after time and again turning back to our idols. Seeing God's hand move among us and yet trusting rather in our wealth, trusting rather in our citizenship, trusting rather in our belongings, trusting rather in the pattern of our household, of our schedule, of our life. Being called to prayer and yet playing cell phone games instead. In what way do you want to look to a fresh beginning? In what way do you want to say, God, take this from me? In what way do you want to say, God, I have injured you and have I injured myself, and so I want no more of it, God. Take this from me and turn my desires away from these sinful things. Make them detestable in my mouth, God, that I will never desire or hunger or thirst for these things that hurt me, that hurt you. What is it, Pathways, that you want to confess? Pastor Eddie's message last week had some great questions. If you need a guide, are there confessions to make regarding your commitment to God? Are there confessions to make regarding your purity, your sin strongholds, your areas of weakness, your idols? Are there confessions to make regarding the regularity and the honesty of your prayer dynamic with Him? Maybe this video will help.
For loving things we should hate, and hating things we should love, God forgive us. For speaking when we should stay silent, and staying silent when we should speak, God forgive us. For closing our eyes to injustice and opening them to impurity, God forgive us. For putting you in second place and giving you second best and second guessing your promises to us, God forgive us. So here we stand, guilty and exposed, crying out for mercy. God forgive us. Death was once the end of our story, but now it's just the beginning. You take what is broken and make it beautiful. You take what is hopeless and make it whole. You take what is stained and make it spotless. Because of you, we have a new king. A new heart and a new life, a new status, a new power and a new purpose, a new home, a new family and a new future. The greatest part of our story is not what we gave up for you, but what you gave up for us. The grave is empty, the throne is occupied, and the king is coming back. So God, forgive us.
I'm going to now close the digital room of confession. Because there is no such thing as repentance and renewal without cleaning, without cleansing, without confession. Pathways, let it be affirmed and assured that you are forgiven. That you have confidence that the Lord your God forgave you even before you asked. Let your Father fill you with the spirit of, yes, come closer to me. Yes, let me help you get rid of these things. Yes, I love you. These things that you have listed, the ugliest of them, the darkest of them, the things you did not write down, they cannot separate you from God's love. Let us turn now. To the celebration and the renewal. Verse 17 of Ezra's prayer, as a cause of how his people kept falling and falling and falling, he cited this. He said, they failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. And that makes sense to me. I think one of the idols that we have in Montgomery County in America in 2020 2022, 2023, whatever year it is. I think our idols that we live by our calendars. I think the idols that we live by our schedules. I think we live by our routines. And I think we have maybe the wrong routines. How many of us are futurists? We like sci-fi movies. We like comic books. We like things in the future. But I don't like history. I don't like things of the past. I can't be bothered to take the time to reflect on my day yesterday, my week, what last month was, what last year was. I can't be bothered to take the time to journal. I don't have time because I have all this Netflix I want to binge, God. How is it that you want me to reflect on these things? Are there miracles today as Ezra and Nehemiah saw in their day? I believe that there are. I believe that there are. They are not of the kind of miracles where suddenly the Potomac is going to divide. But they are the miracles that if we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, they are there. I believe that our lives have the little stories, the little miracles in them. And I believe that if we look closely enough, I believe that if we examine, I believe that if we reflect and reveal to each other, I believe that these are miracles that you cannot explain. And I believe that this looking is a discipline that takes a while to get. Let me give some examples. The staff of the church, we meet every Tuesday for a staff meeting, and one of the first exercises is always fill in your section. And by that, we mean there's a little section in our staff minutes every single week. Where did you see God last week in your ministry? What are you praying for God to show up in next week? And we, the staff, fill this out every week because we know we're not going to remember. I had my V team, the volunteers of the student ministry, we went out for our annual review, and we read some of these notes, and we were blown away. At this time, I'm going to share some of them with you. At this time last year, it reads January 11, 2022. Students, just give me some grace here. You weren't really meant to hear these notes. It reads, Three Strands is regretfully put on hold for the January of 2022 due to parent and student poll on their caution and concern status as regards Omicron. Additionally, weekly attendance in November and December has been very, very low, and the last three events in a row have been canceled. We'll use the off time to reset and possibly reconfigure yet again. It's all just so very frustrating. Almost exactly a year ago, we canceled the youth group for a month. We couldn't get the kids to show up. Their momentum was low. They were fighting all sorts of COVID dangers and hazards and et cetera. This is where we started last year, a year ago. Halfway through the year in May 3rd, 2022, we see God nudging our students to invite their friends. And they were doing this during the Chosen series. We were watching the Chosen series, which is all about Jesus, and their friends were coming and they were inviting their friends, and it was just the weirdest time ever for me to see our students invite their friends. But they were coming and liking it. And as such, there's a renewed vigor and enthusiasm and vibe on Wednesday nights. Thanks to God, we can build on this. November 8th, just a month or so ago. God keeps giving the increase. Our new and non-believing students have been attending, returning, visiting for a few months solid now. We have about six of them out of our group of 24, and they're very engaged with our apologetic series. They make fun of it, but they engage with it. How do we help them take next steps towards Jesus? I want to tell you that the volunteers who work with the Three Strands Ministry are some of the best I've ever had to work with. But this wasn't them. I want to tell you very humbly that in the world of youth ministers, I'm an old veteran and I know what I'm doing and I'm pretty good at it, but this wasn't me. Somehow, over the course of a year, God decided to get hold of these kids and make them into a community that actually liked each other, trusted each other enough to bring their friends to. It's unheard of. These percentages and these numbers are not normal for a group of 25% non-believing, exploring, seeking new students that isn't normal for a suburban youth group. Almost no one can sustain it. You might see it for a month or two, but we've been seeing it for half a year now. I don't know what God is doing, and I'm kind of afraid to tell the students because I might freak them out, but they're doing something right. And it's not them, it's God behind them. If I were to tell this story to one of my former students, could they say, those are very nice numbers, Jonathan? Yes, I see that, that makes sense. But that doesn't have to be God. I mean, maybe you just started offering really good Wednesday meals, which we did. Maybe you just started really like playing a lot more games. Maybe you just started paying kids to come. I don't know. They can explain away. You can use human logic to explain away something that happened. But you and I sitting here, we know youth groups, we know churches, we know our students, we know what happened last year. Something is different about this. There are more stories from the church. I asked each of the ministry leaders, I asked each of the pastors to do the same exercise. And again, this is harder for them because they didn't know I was going to ask, and they didn't take minutes, they didn't take notes every single week of last year, but they're going to this year because they know that this Sunday's going to turn around again. So board chairs, pastors, leaders, small group leaders, teachers, I'm going to ask you next year for where you saw God. So take reflections, everybody. Especially those of you in our Sunday morning classes, you are on the front lines, you hear the prayer requests answered and asked for every Sunday. Would you write those down for us so that we can celebrate and know? No one on the V team recalled this at all. We had no memory of it at all. We couldn't have told you had we not taken the time to reflect and note. There's a QR code on screen. It's got a list of all of the ministries that we could find who, and this is their first try. This is their first year. We're going to grow in this skill. We hope to encourage you by leading in this. And yes, a lot of it is big picture stuff because ministries deal with big picture stuff. I'm hoping that when you have a chance to share your own stories, it's not so much about numbers, it's not so much about dollars, it's not so much about bigger things, it's about relationships, it's about you, it's about God, it's about meeting someone's need and just being there, or someone being there for you. Unbeknownst to you, coincidentally, it just happened that way. So, I'm gonna open that digital room again, and you're gonna have a chance to share your own story. Where in 2022 did you see God in your life? Where did you have a little happenstance? Maybe it's mundane, maybe it's just, I didn't have enough money for lunch and a friend offered, just, oh, that was cool, that was great. But maybe it's something bigger. With our church, with our congregation, there's a lot of medical issues. There's a lot of things to celebrate. Share your story. Again, these are anonymous. Again, no one is going to judge you. We can pray. We can celebrate. You can list as many as you want to. Just try it. Just develop the skill. Again, I told you that story. That kid was in my life 20-something years ago. I'm still working on this skill in my own life. Do you want God to be real in your life? Then look for where he's already showing up. Do you want your loved ones to follow Jesus? Then tell these stories from your own life and ask them how it could have happened otherwise. Do you want joy in your relationship with God? Do you want joy and celebration in your faith community? Well, then let us remember then together, collectively, and celebrate and give thanks. Someday I pray that we move this to an evening thing where there's a meal and we're just sharing our stories around tables. And then we have an open mic and we celebrate and there is spontaneous worship and spontaneous scripture. And it is just a place, it's a night that is like, good golly, God is real among that congregation. What does that congregation do? They celebrate the reality of God in their lives. And they have the stories to prove it. The last line of Ezra's prayer is a renewed commitment, a New Year's resolution, if you will. And it reads like this, in verse 38 of chapter 9. In view of all this, prays Ezra, we are making a binding agreement, God, putting it in writing. And our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. Not just a prayer, they made a legal binding agreement between them and God that says we are going to renew our commitment to be your people. I would like to offer you that same opportunity. As the worship team comes back up, if you are willing to make that same renewed commitment to follow Jesus this year, then I invite you to come forward during this song to build our own pile of Ebenezer stones. I'm going to ask you all to come from one direction and exit in the same, so it just will make a single file line. But I ask you, if you are going to recommit to Jesus in this same way, if you have a story that you are going to look for, if you already have a story you want to share, then you will grab a stone, your Ebenezer stone, and add it to the pile. And we will make our own pile of Ebenezer stones this Sunday, and we will compare that picture year after year after year. We might have to get a whole room. We might have to make a permanent structure somewhere. But let us celebrate God being in our lives. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for us. I know these numbers, God. People say the church in America is in decline. People say there's the rise of the nuns, those who would ascribe to no religion or no faith. We know the numbers of those who have been raised in church youth groups and raised in churches and would not claim to be following you after their college years. We see the faces of those we love who have told us the same thing. I see in the media constant criticism of my brothers and sisters who share my faith with you, and sometimes those words and deeds embarrass me, God, and I get angry with them, but there just doesn't seem to be much telling of the good things that you're doing, and I know that you are. I can see them in my own life, God, and I've had to work hard to even start to glimpse it, but I believe that we can. I believe that we can shed our idols. I believe, like Saul, we can shed these scales from our eyes. I believe that we can be remade and we can see you in new ways, God. I believe we can put down the oars of this boat that we are frantically rowing and let you guide. I believe that if you help us, we can raise our vision from the immediate to what was so that we can see you having taken care of us. And God, I know that this might be hard to hear for families that are in trouble. And there are some serious health concerns in our congregation. There are some serious financial concerns. And yet you are present. And yet you are with them. Father, would you give them advanced ability to see your hand? Would you make your presence not so much a smoke and a whisper, but a loud bang and a shout and a bright light, God? Would you give them reason to pause and to praise and to thank you, to see your hand with them, just comforting them, just being with them? Would you poke and nudge us as your church family to surround them? Would you reveal our stories to us through us? Would you bring us closer to God, closer to each other, God? I can't reveal someone's story if I don't know it, if I don't love them enough to take the time to hear it. They can't know mine. This time that we live in, this space, this area that we live in, it is separate. It is disconnected. And it feels like we're trying to do everything we can sometimes to cut ourselves off from you. And so, God, we ask, forgive us. Forgive us and don't let us go. Give us so many stories Next year, half that altar is full. The year after that, the whole altar is full. The year after that, I've overspent money on rocks because we've just had too many stories, God. Would you be with us new and fresh? Would you reveal yourself to us? And all the people of God said, Amen. When you are ready, if you are willing, during the song,